Greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today as we continue our study in the series through Hebrews. And Bob and Richard have brought us an excellent series so far, and today we're going to build on that and just buckle your seatbelt, and we're ready to go.
Yes, we are. We're in chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 11 of chapter 13. This is some of just practical encouragement, practical outworkings of this new life that we have in Christ lived under the banner of the new covenant. We are new covenant believers. Jesus Christ is the one who offered himself once and for all to usher into this new age, this new covenant. He is our high priest. He is our priest forever. He has an indestructible life. So we've just seen the grace of God really detailed in such a magnificent way in this particular book. And as all the writers in the New Testament do, they give us the picture of the grace of God. What does that look like? And then they give us some practical aspects, some practical fruits of that that relationship that we now have with Christ, that grace working itself in and through us as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ. So we talked about brotherly love, hospitality. We talked about honoring marriage. We talked about being content with what you have and the fact that Jesus Christ is never going to leave you nor forsake you. It talks about remembering your leaders, imitating their faith, and the reason is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And knowing that is the very thing that will protect us from strange and diverse teachings. And certainly in the world today, under the umbrella of religion, there are all kinds of strange teachings going on about everything.
Yeah.
And people are gullible enough to fall for them. But if we have this message concerning Christ and realize that it is the message, that there's nothing better that's going to come along, that's going to protect us from these strange teachings. And then we go on and read about Jesus Christ himself, and that's where we're going to pick up in verse 11. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. That's actually verse 10. And that altar that the book, that the writer of Hebrews is referring to is not a physical altar. It's Christ Jesus himself. We've come to Christ. We don't take sacrifices to a priest, and the priest in turn takes it to an altar or to a place of sacrifice. We come to Christ himself. And it says those who serve in the tent, those Levitical priesthood, that Levitical priesthood who is saying, hey, we're still the way. We're still it folks, and you need to gather around us. They don't know what their jobs were all about, because their jobs were all about pointing people to Jesus in the long run. They were a shadow representing the true substance, the reality that was to come along, and that was Jesus Christ. But they've rejected Jesus, so they have no right to eat at the altar from which we do. And then it says, for the bodies of those animals that were sacrificed by the Levitical priesthood, those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, are burned outside the camp. So once the sacrifice has been made, then the carcass of that animal is taken outside and was burned outside the gates. It wasn't welcomed. It wasn't the final disposition of it didn't happen inside the gates. It happened outside. Now, the writer of Hebrews is saying this because Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Jesus Christ was not welcome within the confines of the religion of the day. He wasn't welcome within the context of the traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation of Judaism. Those folks rejected Jesus. And when they handed him over to be crucified, when Pilate handed him over to be crucified, he was led outside of the city gates. And there he hung on a cross. And he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. And here it says that he went outside the gate. He gladly went outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So it's the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us holy. And you're not going to find that sacrifice within the confines of religion or human tradition. If you want to find true life, true freedom, true forgiveness, you have to go outside of that, outside the gates, to be with Jesus Christ himself. And that's a hard thing for many people to do. It takes courage to let go of the identity you once had through your religious tradition, to really grab hold of the identity that Christ has for you through faith in him. And lots and lots and lots and lots of people shrink back from that. They want to stay within the safety of the city walls, of those religious walls. They don't want to think outside of the box. They don't want to believe outside of the box, and they don't want to live outside of the box. But if you're going to find true freedom, life, and forgiveness, you better be willing to go out there. And faith is the very thing that moves us out there, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, there are so many people that I've talked to, various denominations, who have said, Jesus, he has to be everything, but I will never leave the XYZ church. And so I used to judge them. I used to get really angry. And what I had to start doing is saying, okay, they've accepted Jesus, but for now, they're confused. The Spirit will take care of that confusion. He has to. But it's such a sad statement that my identity is so tied up in whatever my religious tradition is, that Jesus isn't enough right off the bat to overcome that. And I have to confess, I was the same way. It took me years and years and years. I knew that what I believed was not working, and I knew Jesus had the answer.
Yeah.
And yet I so tightly hung on to that identity that it cost me. And here's... Go out there with him.
Yes.
Go out to Jesus and let him explain who he is, what he's done, and why he's so important to you. He will do that.
Yes, indeed.
It's our study through the book of Hebrews on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. Of course, our purpose at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out to as many people as possible by every means possible. Every time a listener's life is impacted by what they've heard on Basic Gospel, our donors have had a part in that. And we want you to share in the blessing, too. Join with us, friends. Click donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Your gifts do make a difference every day. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So verse 13 is just one of those great calls of the gospel to hearts of people everywhere.
Yeah.
It says, therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So the religious world of that day rejected Jesus. Judaism rejected Jesus. The world empire, the world system of that day, the Roman Empire, rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. Both working together kicked him out of the city gates and said, you're an outsider. Well, those of us who are going to come to know him, we're going to be outsiders as well. But it's worth being an outsider. It's worth going outside of the gates and bearing the reproach he endured. Why? Because, you know, just as we have been called to the same glory that Christ has, we're going to share in that glory, we too can share in his sufferings. And what does that mean? That we have external forces out there that are against us. The world system in which we live is against us. religion by nature is against us. It's just the way it is. So we're bearing that reproach that Jesus did in exchange for his life, his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his mercy. It's a no-brainer if you really look at it.
Yeah.
Why? I would rather be identified with Jesus than anything else that's in this world. Why? Because in Jesus, I'm going to endure forever. Everything else we see, it's temporary. When God speaks and it shakes everything up, there's only one thing that's going to last, and that is the unshakable kingdom of God. And you have to go outside of the gates to experience that kingdom, to be a part of it. So go out there. Have the courage. Have the courage to do that. Have the courage to live out who you are in Jesus Christ. So through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. We've talked about this several times, Richard. In this new covenant, there is no provision for sacrifice.
None.
Jesus shed his blood once for all. That satisfied God forever. Mm-hmm. So no more sacrifice is necessary, as we learned in Hebrews 10:18, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So the only thing that we can offer God are lips who continually praise him.
Yes.
And that's a sign of faith. Mm-hmm. When our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for the very life of Christ living in us, that's a sign to us that we truly are walking by faith. We've heard the story concerning Jesus, and we've responded that story in faith. So we offer up those sacrifices, and then he says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That's just an outflow of our new life in Christ.
I love how he does this. He makes it so explicit that this is by grace through faith. Through Jesus, therefore, offer these sacrifices, the lips that praise his name and doing good and sharing with others. This isn't anything we're doing in order to score points. It's we're doing because that's what Jesus is doing through us.
Yes.
Clearly. It's
yes.
the only way.
Yes. By grace, through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
That is the story of the Bible. Mm-hmm. It really is. As far as our part in that story, it is by grace, through faith in Jesus. He says in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So there are leaders. Back in those days, the apostles were leaders. They named elders, and their job was to protect the message, to make sure the message continued to be delivered in its purity, in its simplicity, so that people could really hear that it is a story about Jesus. So it's that message that watches over our souls. When we respond to Jesus, when we encounter him and say, yes, receive him, that's good for our souls. We have peace. That restlessness that we once experienced is exchanged for rest. That fear and anguish and anxiety is exchanged for faith. We experience joy inside of us. So it's this gospel message that really oversees our souls, watches over our souls, and it's those leaders who bring that gospel message who stand in the gap, so to speak, and watch over and protect us from those strange and crazy teachings that are out there.
Yeah.
So it says, submit to them, and then let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, they need to be doing this work with joy in their heart, without groaning and griping and complaining and all the things
I love that word groan, because I've been in churches, I've been pastor at churches, and every once in a while the pastors get together and go, it's such a descriptive word, because as members, as part of the body of Christ, we can lift them up and make their lives a joy.
Right, absolutely. And it just goes hand in glove. Their joy becomes our joy. Mm-hmm. Our joy becomes their joy. And why not be joyful? Why? Because we're sharing in the very life of Christ. We are new covenant believers. We are bound to one another by the very love of Jesus that saved us. So he goes on to say in verse 18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. So we pray for our leaders. Certainly we see in this world today, there's a lot of ministers that are in it for personal gain. Mm-hmm. They're taking advantage of their position. They are abusing their power and authority. And it's easy for that to happen. Yeah. And so that's why we need to pray for our leaders. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to really be in relationship with them and be able to talk through what's going on in their lives, just as they should be able to talk through what's going on in our lives, so that we're in this for Jesus, not for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, friends, we just might finish the study next week. Not a guarantee, but we might finish it next week. But Bob and Richard have brought us such a rich study. And friends, if you want a review or if you've missed any of the sessions along the way, you'll find all the sessions of the entire study at basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire Hebrew series is there. And you can share it with your family and friends anytime. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, the final few verses of this is a benediction, and man, is it a powerful benediction. Really, this is a summary statement for the entire book of Hebrews and how he was able to condense it down to such a concise and glorious statement is beyond me. I guess we'll have to blame that on the Holy Spirit inspiring him to pen these words. And he says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's God the Father who raised Jesus Christ the Son. And so the substance of our faith hinges on that reality.
Yeah.
If there was no resurrection, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith would be futile and we would still be in our sins. Yeah. So everything hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this new covenant being in play, in force, hinges on not only his death, but the fact that God has ratified it and saying, hey, this is now operative in raising Jesus to be our high priest forever and to be the one that can intercede for us forever, the one who defeated sin and death once and for all. So God raised Jesus from the dead, and this Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. We see that in his own teaching. He says, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
That's Jesus, and he watches out over us. He tends to us. He cares for us. That's what a shepherd does, and he does that by the blood of the eternal covenant. That's the covenant that we live in, this new covenant. You and I are new covenant believers, and we need to make that declaration that we are new covenant. And making that declaration is going to protect us from mixing the two covenants. Mm-hmm. There was the old covenant. That was for the people of Israel. We were bound to that sin and death by our own consciences as Gentiles, but we were released from that when we came to Christ by faith. Had a purpose. That purpose was fulfilled, and now we're in the new covenant, and that's where we're going to be not only here and now, but eternally. So we are new covenant believers. So now may this God equip every one of us with every good thing so that we may do his will. So God wants us to be a part of carrying out his will in this world, and he is working in us, and this is key, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't about human effort. This isn't about us doing great things for God. This is about him working in and through us. And what is he going to work in and through us? He is going to work in us that which is pleasing in his sight.
Yeah.
Now, Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Yes.
So what in the world is God going to be working in us? that desire to trust Jesus in all things, mm-hmm. to abide in him, to depend upon him, to make ourselves available to him, to do in and through us what only he can do. Now, that's pleasing to the Father. When we give Jesus full access to who we are, mm-hmm. that pleases the Father. How do we do that? By faith.
Yes.
By faith.
Don't sell yourself short or your understanding of this short. That statement that we just read and Bob just explained, that is the key, the single key to the Christian life.
Yes.
Never catch yourself going, well, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
There isn't a single thing in the Christian life that matters that you can do. If Jesus isn't doing it, it's not getting done.
No, it's not. And the meaningful stuff, the work that endures,
yes.
That's the stuff that Jesus is all about. And he's going to be working that in us. He's going to be working this total abandonment in us mm-hmm. to him so that we can see the fullness of his life being expressed through us.
Yeah.
So that's the great benediction. And as we said, this is just an excellent summary of the entire book of Hebrews. But then he goes on with a couple of other verses. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly.
I'd hate to see the long version.
That's right. This is not a brief letter. It is dense. It is rich. It is thick. It is just filled with theology that just boggles the mind. But it's also done in such a way that you can truly understand. There's an elegance to its simplicity. So it's just a fabulous book. And it says, you should know that our brother Timothy has been released. That was good news for the saints, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. And then he ends with this, grace be with all of you.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times when I used to read, that final verse of a letter, and almost every letter in the New Testament ends in exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. The entire Bible ends on this note of grace. I used to think it was just a nice little,
yeah, sincerely,
you know, warmly, sincerely, yeah, whatever, Bob, type of thing. But no, this, everything is telescoped down into this one statement,
mm-hmm.
because this is it. There's God, there's man. If God and man are going to connect, there's only one way. It is the grace of God, his choosing to connect to us.
Yes.
And he's done that in Christ. And so when he says, grace be with all of you, that is just the biggest, most wonderful statement any person could ever say. Why? Because when grace is with all of you, then you have a connection with Christ and you can enjoy his life fully and forever. And that's what this Bible points us to.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, so that we can have life in his name that has been given to us by grace through faith in him. That's the story of the book of Hebrews.
And what a story it is. We want to remind you, friends, once again, that you can stay connected with Basic Gospel every day when you download the Basic Gospel app. We hope you'll do that today if you have not already done so. Well, another really rich study in the book of Hebrews, friends, and we're glad that you're with us today. Please remember that we need your help to keep this message on the air and to take it to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And when you give this month, we have a special gift to say thanks for partnering with us. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. And later today, tonight, or possibly over the weekend, if you have a question or about something you've heard on Basic Gospel, well, give us a call. That number's 844-322-2742. It's available anytime, 24 hours a day, weekday, weekend. It doesn't matter. 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis, and I hope you'll be with us again on Monday for more Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.